Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you are here today, both in person and online. Welcome. We are in a series entitled Identity, where we have started last week, where we're looking at, first of all, for the first few weeks, some of the lies that the devil will tell us to try to steal our true identity in him. And there is a verse that captures this series, that guides us through this series, and I'm going to ask you to help me recite that verse after you help me recite our family declaration, okay? I've got a lot of work for you guys to do today, right? You're going to have to, you've already been singing, so your vocal cords are already warmed up. I'm going to ask you to help me out. The words are on the screen, okay? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that scripture is John chapter 10 in verse 10. Please help me out and let's just read it loud. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Good job. The lie we're looking at today is simply, I am what I do. I am what I do. For example, I don't know if any of y'all remember back when you were in high school. For some of you, that was probably much longer than for others. I get it. But maybe some of you aren't in high school yet. But I've been doing a little asking, and I've discovered that it's kind of the same all the way back into people who graduated in the 1950s, that they did this thing called class prophecies or class predictions for the seniors. Like it would happen for me, it happened about homecoming week, but around prom time, they would have the class predictions and they would predict like where you were going to be in 10 years, the most likely to succeed, the most likely to end up in prison, right? Anybody voted most likely to succeed? Prison? And but anyway, they make these predictions, and then you show up at your 10-year class reunion to find out who's put on 20 pounds, who's lost all their hair, who actually finished college, right? Who has a successful career, who ended up in prison. And the most popular question at the 10-year reunion is not, so have you discovered the secret to life yet? Have you discovered the true meaning of life? That's not the question that's asked. The number one question asked at the 10-year reunion is, so, what do you do? And the number one reason why so many people refuse to attend their 10-year class reunion is because they don't want to answer that question. Because so many people have believed the lie that I am what I do. And they don't want to say what that is, so they avoid the 10-year reunion. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, yet he struggled with this too. He struggled. Ecclesiastes, if you have your Bible and want to turn there, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in verse 10. He believed the lie too. Anything I wanted, he said, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. In other words, look at what I've done. Check this out. Look at my palace. Look at the kingdom I have built. Aren't I something, right? All my hard work has paid off, right? Verse 11. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. If we believe the lie that we are what we do, then our identity wrongly comes from a number of different places. So today I'm going to ask that we take the masks off. I'm going to ask that you remove the mask and be real. At least with yourself, okay? God already sees right past the mask, right through everything, the facade, the smiling faces when you're not feeling like smiling. He sees through it all, okay? So don't worry about being real with God. He already sees it. Be at least honest with yourselves today as we walk through this message. You don't have to worry. If you want to come clean with people around you, that's fine. But at least be honest with yourself. See, our natural inclination when I ask you to do that is forget you, preacher. I'm not playing that silly game. Because the thing of the matter is the fact of the matter is, if you were to take off the mask, you'd be forced to face truth. And for some of us, well, the truth kind of hurts. In fact, write this down. When we believe the performance lie, our identity wrongly comes from what we've accomplished. When we believe the performance lie, our identity wrongly comes from what we've accomplished. This goes all the way back to childhood. Think about this. Like, you try your best to win the spelling bee. You get that, whoo, you know, top of the class for the spelling bee. You know, you try to get first chair in band, right? You struggle and try so hard, right? You, all of these things, and it carries right on into adulthood, and it might look like this. Watch this. I am what I do. So if you are the top salesperson in your department for that month, you are the hero, right? But if you have a bad month or two, then all of a sudden you're the zero. You know what I'm saying? It's like you are defined by what you do. And if you achieve, yay. If you don't, loser, right? And we get into this mentality of what we've accomplished. And when it really gets sick is when we start living this lie through our kids, right? Like, I haven't seen too many in Alaska, but when I lived in the lower 48, I would quite often see this bumper sticker that said, "My kid is an honor student at such and such school," right? And then all of a sudden, you people were fighting back, and you'd see the bumper sticker says, "Yeah, well, my kid beat up your honor student," you know? I mean, it's like, it's this mentality of I am what I do, and it's this, we live even sometimes through our children's success or failures, and it's still this identity of I am. I wonder how many of us can relate to, like, we base our identity on what we have accomplished in life. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but this is one of those moments where I'm asking you to take off the mask and just evaluate. Let it settle in and marinate for a moment. Have you been victim to that performance-based lie, "I am what I do," and you base your worth on what you accomplish or don't accomplish? Everybody got it? Done the evaluation? Taken off the mask? All right. Secondly, when we believe the performance lie, our identity wrongly comes from what we have. When we believe the performance lie, our identity wrongly comes from what we have. You know, maybe you get this nice cool new car or new truck, leather seats, and you slide your butt into that nice butt warmer seat. Maybe your steering wheel's even got heat. Put on your cool shades, you know, kick back. Check me out. Look at the ride I've got. Even though I financed it for 120 months and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, aren't I cool, right? Or check out my house, see the neighborhood. I live on Snob Hill, you know. I've got a HOA, you know. Then, like, who cares? Look at the clothes I wear. See the name brand on them, you know, and all this cool stuff. Did you see where my kids go to school? See where I vacation all the time? You know, anybody relate? I remember this and never forget this, okay? Remember what I'm about to say. You are not what you have done. You are not what you do. You are not what you will do. You are who God says you are. You are not who the devil says you are. You are not who the world says you are. You are not who your friends say you are. You are not who you say you are when you look in the mirror. You are who God says that you are. We have to let that truth settle into our hearts. So for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, who are you? Well, I'm a carpenter. I'm a teacher. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a musician. No, 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 no. That is what you do. That is what you do. Who are you? If we are a born-again, Bible-believing follower of Jesus, we are a new creation in Christ. Amen? The old life is gone. Behold, everything is brand stinking new. We are a new, that is who you are. We sang that song, there is a new name. Now listen, we lose track of that. Some of y'all may have been a follower of Jesus for, 112 years. But in reference to eternity, that's a pretty new name. Amen? There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. I am a new creation in Christ. I am not who I used to be. I'm not who people used to know me as. I am a new creation. I am not Milt that did this. I am Milt, a child of God. Amen? That is who you are. You are not what you do. You are loved by God. You are called by God. You are chosen by God. You are an heir with Christ. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are a child of the King. Don't mix up who you are, the who you are, with what you do. Don't intertwangle the who you are with the what you do. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." Oh, that's a good verse, but you have to kind of go back and get the last two. Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so none of us can boast about it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us so that we may walk in them." God wants us to do the right thing, church. Okay? Does everybody agree? God wants us to do the right thing. But hear this. Doing the right thing is not nearly as important as the motive behind doing the right thing. The why we do what we do is more important than the what we do. We don't do good in order to get saved. We do good because we are saved. Amen? In our own strength, we can't. We'll never achieve. You don't climb and struggle and try and try and struggle and fail and try again in hopes to get to heaven. It's not about do, it's already done. Jesus did everything that needed to be done so we could have eternal life. He loves us. We are his children. He is our daddy. And he has said, "I will in no wise cast you out. You are mine. He is mine. I am his," right? It's not about that. It's we do the right thing because of whose we are. We don't do the good thing in order to be his. We is his, so we do the right stuff. All right? That's good grammar. I don't care what you say. In fact, write this down. What we do should be a result of who we are. What we do should be a result of who we are. If we think we are what we do, then we end up being human beings as human doings instead of being human beings. And all of a sudden we miss the most important point. You're not what you've done. You're not what you do. You're not what you're going to do. You are who God says you are. Now, since the God is the author and source of our strength, he should have a little say-so in the important things of our lives, yes? So I pray that over the next couple of minutes, you allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak deeply into your hearts through my feeble attempt of words. Let God, write this down, let God define the do's and the don'ts. Let God define the do's and the don'ts. Now, I expected I might see a couple go, Hang with me. Now, why is this so important? Because for those of us who buy in on this lie, this performance-based lie that I am what I do, so I gotta do, we do all kinds of good things, we miss out on the best things. We're so committed to doing good things, we miss the best things that God has for us. For those of us who have bought in on that performance-based lie, can I tell you something about you? You're overcommitted, stretched thin, stressed out, and freaking out. Am I right? Because when we believe the lie that our worth comes from what we do, we'll try doing too much to prove ourselves, and it will actually be more than what God wants us to do. It's many times, quite often, doing more than what God wants us to do. Please, settle in and listen to the words of Jesus, right? Oh, hold on, don't put it up there quite yet. I just gotta preach better. You know, I want you guys to like me. I gotta perform. I have to bring the A game because I want to impress you. Right? You know what I'm saying? We gotta do, and the load, the pressure is heavy. I mean, Milt, if you don't bring the A game, they're gonna leave. They're gonna go to another church. You better step it up. I mean, we put such a burden, such a heaviness, such a weight on ourselves. But watch what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. So beautiful, so freeing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, what's it say? Rest. Everybody say rest. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of y'all don't even know what physical rest is. Right? You're like, I'm just so tired and I just got so much to do. And I'm going to go home and try to get a good night's rest. You don't even know how to get a physical rest. And that's not even what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I will give you rest for your souls. He's talking about spiritual rest. We don't even know what physical rest looks like. And then he goes on and he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, preacher, I don't know about you, but my yoke is hard. My burden is heavy. You know why? It's because you got 10,000 meetings that you've scheduled. You've overcommitted to have coffee with this person, and you got that staff meeting, and you've got to take the kids to soccer and band and baseball and karate and gymnastics, and then you got to take them to their fun stuff, take the kids to the mall, then go to the movies or whatever, and you got to yard work that never ends, and you've got projects that need to get done, and you got honey-do lists, and you got all kinds of stuff, and there's just not enough hours in the day to get all of this stuff done. And we find ourselves tired, worn out, burned out. Can anyone relate? Yeah. Jesus says, if you're yoked to him, if you're hooked up with Jesus, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're hooked up with Jesus, this life is supposed to be a joy-filled journey. Not chaotic stress. Like, oh, Lord Jesus, please come. You know, I'm anxious for him to come back too, but not because I'm stressed out and working so hard that I need to figure out what rest is. You know, come deliver me from this mess. No, it's like, yes, come, Lord Jesus, because one day in heaven going to beat the best 1,000 years here. Right? But in the meantime, if we're yoked with him, if we're hooked up with him, this is supposed to be a joy-filled journey. And if you find yourself, I want you to listen carefully. If you find yourself doing too much, are you hearing me? If you find yourself doing too much, you're doing some things that God doesn't want you to do. Let that one marinate for a little while. If you find yourself too busy with too much to do, you flat out are doing things God didn't intend for you to do. I hear people all the time, like, you know, you ask somebody, how you doing today? You know what the number one answer is? Huh? What is it? Come on, it's the number one answer. Somebody should get it. How are you doing? No, busy. The number one answer is busy. How you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. You know, company's this and work's this and kids this. I'm busy. I'm running all over. I'm busy, 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 busy. And we wear it like it's some kind of badge of honor. And it's not. It's really, really not. I mean, why wouldn't you say busy? I mean, number one, you don't want to look lazy, right? How are you doing? Oh, man, I am so bored. I got so much time on hands. I don't know what to do. First of all, you're going to look lazy. Second of all, you're going to get volunteered to do something. You got nothing to do? I got some stuff I need help with, right? So, of course, you know, the number one answer is, how are you doing? I'm busy. I'm busy. Don't even think about it, right? But it's not a badge of honor. It's not. It's really quite the opposite. Because if we're living in harmony with Jesus and operating within the rhythm of Jesus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He didn't come to put a heavy weight on us. He didn't come to make us miserable. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We really need to learn to start saying yes to the right things. Because when you start saying yes to the right things, you don't have to worry about the rest. You say yes to the best and you forget the rest. A poet, didn't even know it. When we start saying yes to the right things, it frees us up to do what matters most, like caring for your body, caring for your soul, spending time with your family, spending time at the feet of the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ. Please hear me. The things that I thought were most important stole from what really is important. Please, church, for the sake of the one who gave it all for you, pursue the things that matter most. Pursue the things that matter most. If I seem overly passionate about this, it's because I am. Because I have found myself in those shoes. I have found myself living with that performance-based mentality that I gotta perform. I gotta put on the happy face. I have to do this. I have to do that. I've gotta be involved in that. I gotta go there. I gotta say that. I gotta participate there. I gotta do all these things. We learn something from Mary and Martha too, don't we? Like, tell my sister to come help me. Jesus is like, no. She's got it figured out. She's doing the important stuff. She's caring for her soul. She's spending time at the feet of the lover of her soul. You're burdened and cumbered about with all this busyness. No, I'm not going to ever help you. You should take some tips from her. Pursue what matters most. We've got to be free, church. We have got to be free from this performance-based mentality. You are not what you do. You are not what you have done, and you are not what you're going to do. You're simply who God says that you are. And we have to find joy and comfort in that truth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all. Everybody say all. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, do all for the one who gave his all for you. Is that too much to ask? The one who gave you breath that you're enjoying right at this moment. Everything we do, do it for the one who gave his all for you. There's a few verses on the screen that we need to be reading for next week. Again, John chapter 10 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 through 10, John chapter 8 verse 44, John chapter 8 verse 32, and Isaiah chapter 40 verses 28 through 31. Let's pray together. Remember when I said we got to take the masks off? I want you to just take a moment and just ask the sweet Holy Spirit to either affirm or encourage you, correct you, if that's the needed thing. The devil, remember, the devil, who is the thief, the liar, the father of lies, he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's near and dear to the heart of God. You and I, brothers and sisters, are near and dear to the heart of God. The devil comes to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that we would have life. Life abundantly, life to the full. And that is not found in what we do. It's found in who we are, our true identity as children of the King. Perfect? No. But a child nonetheless. And in our moments right where we are, maybe our eyes closed and we can have that imagination. And if you're a parent, maybe you can picture your child. Maybe doesn't get first place. Maybe does something that disappoints us. But when we lock eyes and that child comes running into our arms, there's nothing more important in that moment than reassuring that child, I love you. You're mine. I wouldn't trade you for anything. And that is how our Father feels about each and every one of us. The scripture says that there is, therefore, not will be, there is, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to flush aside, just to get rid of, push aside the guilt and the shame and the doubts and the frustrations and the sadness of chasing after performance, of believing the lie that we are what we do. God, that you would help us to just turn and run right into your arms. Say, I'm sorry. I've been listening to all the wrong. My identity is in you, Father. And I pray that we would leave here today forever changed, never ever to be the same again. Child of the King, chins lifted. A smile on our face as we acknowledge that it's all for your glory. May everything we say and everything we do bring glory to you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name.